Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Yotet Amud Bet by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Natal Evan Okora, he takes a stone or a beam, Shel Hekdesh, that belongs to Hekdesh, Harzeh Lo Ma'al. There is no Me'ilah over here. That is obviously somewhat difficult because we already learned that Shinui Rishut is a sufficient reason for Me'ilah. And it seems over here that you're taking an Evan Okora from Hekdesh, and yet you're not Mo'el. Natana Lechavero Hu Ma'al. But if he gives it to a third party, then there is mi'ilah. Bechaveiro lo ma'al. But the third party is not mo'el, because once he gives it to that party, the mi'ilah makes it that it goes out to chulin, and therefore he doesn't have any obligations vis-a-vis the item that's been given to him, because there's no longer any mi'ilah. It's been profaned and is now chulin. The Gemara will discuss that we are speaking about here a gizbar of Hekdesh. We're speaking about a treasurer of Hekdesh. And that's why when he takes the item, there's no change in ownership, because he is the master of all the items of Hekdesh. And so when he takes it, there's no change in ownership, because he was the person in charge before, and now he's still in the same boat as he was before. Therefore, it's only once he gives it to a third party that we have a Shinoi Rishut that creates the Mi'ilah. Now, there are those that question that because of the fact that if he intends to take it out of the possession of Hekdesh, doesn't matter that he's the Gizbar of Hekdesh, that intent in itself should be enough to take it out of the possession of Hekdesh. So the answer that in this situation, it's not a case where the individual is taking the item with the intent to remove it from the possession of Hekdesh. The person's taking it with the intent to use it themselves, thinking that it's theirs. They think it's their own. They're taking it for that purpose. And that's why there is no mi'ilah over here, because the person's not intending to remove it from the possession of Hekdesh. And when he's functioning as the gizbar, then he's really not taking that out of the possession of Hekdesh when he thinks it's his own and not that which belongs to Hekdesh. So then, when he passes it to a third party, there you have a shinui reshut. Now the Rambam in the Perush of Mishnayot over here notes something which is against what we've seen in the Baalei Tosafot until now. It's what we discussed as the sheet of the Rambam. The Rambam says, lo ma'al, kefi ha'ikara niskar. There is no mi'ilah until you get hana'a, like we stated above. Ukashiteno tan lechavero, once he gives it to his friend, the third party, kvar nehene uma'al. He has what seemingly is shinui reshut and hana'a, which is not the way that we've been learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah, we said, is just simply shinui reshut, and that's the view of the Baalei Tosafot. But if you have shinui reshut, that's a sufficient reason for mi'ilah. The Rambam, on the other hand, adds in this factor of hana'a, and later on in the same Perush Mishnayot, he writes that if it's not the gizbar, but an individual takes it from Hekdesh and hands it to his friend to utilize, that when you give it to a third party, shneim malul defish kol echad mishneim nehne upagam, it's both of them are getting hana'a, and there is pagam over here. Zenehne, the person who's giving it, his hana'a is benitina tamatana betovat hana'a asheba'a lo. The hana that he gets is the thanks, the goodwill that is generated by the gift that he's giving to that third party. That is hana, that tovat hana. And then v'zeh neneh bekabalata. And this individual who receives it is neneh from the fact that he now gets the item, has use of the item. The Rambam makes it clear that in order for there to be mi'ilah, you need hana'a. And that is even in the case of shinui reshut. This is different than what we saw in the Baalei Tosafot. Rambam sees hana'a as the key element of mi'ilah, or misappropriation of Hekdesh, or mi'ilah, is you benefiting from something that belongs to Hekdesh. It is you profaning that which belongs to Hekdesh, and you need to get hana for that to happen. It might be a condition that you need pagam, might be a condition that you need shinoi reshut, but the primary aspect is hana'a, and that's what we discussed yesterday, that according to the Rambam, if you have different values for pagam and hana'a, hana'a would be the governing factor. Whereas for Rashi, or the Miyuchas, the Rashi over here, you can see back on Daf Yudchet Amud Aleph, right after the Mishnah, he says, the lo adlin and batar na, ela batar begam. He makes it clear that we don't go after ana, we go after the begam, and begam is the major factor, according to the Miyuchas, the Rashi, and not hana'a. It is the diminution in value that you create, the damage that you do to Hekdesh, that is what you are chayav for. And then the Baalei Tosafot in Baba Metziah actually have a compromised position, which is whichever is the higher of values, pagam or hana, that's what you're chayav for. But Over here, the Balei Tosafot explained the Mishnah as being a case where you have Shinoi Rishut, and that's why you're Chayav. Rambam, on the other hand, says that it's a case where you have Shinoi Rishut and Hana'ah. And that's what generates the Chiyuv Mi'ilah over here. And that's the Rambam, the Shittato, that you always need Hana'ah in these situations. Bana'ah betoch beito, if the individual, which seemingly continuing the flow of the assumption of the Gemara that we're speaking about a Gizbar over here, if he builds it into his house, Harzelo Ma'al, there is no Mi'ilah, Achi Yidor Tachta B'Shavim Pruta. Until he gets Hana'ah from it, from living under it for a value of a Shavim Pruta. So there, again, the Gemara is going to ask, why isn't there already Mi'ilah from the time that he builds it into the house? Why do you need Hana'ah in order to be a Chayav? Natal Pruta Shel Hekdesh. Person takes a Pruta of Hekdesh, Harzelo Lo Ma'al. Here, there's no Mi'ilah. Once again, we're speaking about the Gizbar, whereby taking the monies of Ekdesh are not a change in ownership, not a change in Rishut, and therefore it's still not Mi'ilah. Netanah l'chaveiro, if he gives it to his friend to use or to spend, hu ma'al, he's mo'el by again profaning the monies of Ekdesh. They've now gone from monies of Ekdesh to monies of Kulin. L'chaveiro, lo ma'al, but his friend has no din of Mi'ilah because his friend is already dealing with an item that's Kulin because of the fact someone who's mo'el, the item is Yotzei lo Chulin, because of that profaning of the item makes it now that it's Chulin. Natana levalan. He gives the money to a bathhouse attendant. Afo pisha lo rachatz, even though you didn't do the activity that you paid for, which is bathing, ma'al, the me'ilah happens right away. Shu'omer lo, because the bathhouse attendant says to him, harei amerchatz patuach lefanecha, ikanes urachotz, that the bathhouse is now open for your usage, you can go in and bathe at any time that you want. That over there, the payment to the bathhouse attendant is gaining you access to the bathhouse. You're not buying anything from the bathhouse attendant. You're not buying anything in the bathhouse. You're buying access to the bathhouse. And so once you've paid the bathhouse attendant, then you've already gotten the hana. The hana is your access to the bathhouse. And so that's why there's mi'ilah right away, because in that case, you've already generated the necessary hana'ah to make you chayav. You don't actually have to have hana'ah from the bathing in the bathhouse. Access itself is hana'ah for you. Over here, the Balei Tosafot discuss the machloket Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara Bava Metzia as to whether mina Torah ma'ot konot, which is the view of Rabbi Yochanan, that mina Torah exchange of money is the mechanism for kinyan, whereas for Reish Lakish, Mishicha mina Torah. The kinyan mina Torah is Mishicha. And over there in the Gemara Bava Metzia, they argue about which is the primary kinyan and which is the kinyan midrabanan that was added on in order to ensure that transactions weren't favoring one party or the other. So Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that ma'ot konot midoraita, and Chachamim instituted a kinyan Mishicha in order to avoid the problems of you purchasing an item and then leaving it in the house of the seller, and suddenly there's a fire and the seller says, I don't really care, it's not mine, it's the other guy's possession. So we required Mishicha, so we don't say, Techa Yisrafu Ba'aliyah, that your stuff was in the Aliyah, it burnt up, sorry, but it's no longer around. Reish Lakish is of the view that Kinyan Mishicha is Midoraita, and the institution of Ma'ot is Midrabanan. They both bring proofs from the Ksukim in Pashat Bahar and Pashat Bechukotai. So now Tosafot says that the Gemara in Bava Metzia brings this Mishnah as evidence to the fact that Reish Lakish is correct. And that's because Rav says about our situation here that the case of the Lavlan is unusual. It's only in this case where the Ma'ot are Konot. That's because you're not buying anything from the bathhouse. You're buying access to the bathhouse, or basically it's Schirut. It's the equivalent of rental. You're renting the access to the bathhouse, and that's why it works over here. Implied in that, or basically what Rav says is that if it was any other transaction, the purchase through monies would not have been sufficient. You would need a Kinyan Mishicha. And that heavily favors Reish Lakish's view that Mishicha is the key Kinyan Min HaTorah, because you can't argue here that the Kinyan Mishicha that's being required, according to Rav, in the Mishnah for other things besides the bathhouse, is Midrabanan. Because over here we're speaking about Mi'ilah, and Mi'ilah has implications Midoraita, because you have to bring a Korban. And if it was only Midrabanan, you can't compel the bringing of a Korban Asham Me'ilot if it's only a violation based on a Kinyan Midrabanan. That shows you that there must have been a Kinyan Doraita over here. And Rav's qualifying and saying this is only true by a bathhouse, but any other Kinyan, you would need a Kinyan Mishicha, shows you that there must be that Kinyanim Mishicha are Midoraita. So Tosafot then says, well, if it's a strong proof for Reish Lakish's opinion, it should also be a strong disproof for Rabbi Yochanan. To that, the Balei Tosafot answer that even though it's a proof to Reish Lakish, it's not necessarily a disproof to Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan B'dochak can explain our Mishnah speaking about a non-Jew. And that's because whatever you believe is the Kinyan Midoraita for a Jew, for a non-Jew, it's the opposite. It's the other Kinyan. And so Rabbi Yochanan, who believes Ma'ot Konot Min HaTorah for a Jew, believes that a Kinyan Mishicha is Midoraita for a non-Jew. And therefore, he can explain this Mishnah as dealing with a non-Jewish bathhouse attendant. And then the diuk would be that with another non-Jewish professional, you would need a Kinyan Mishicha. So even though, as the Balei Tosafot say, that the Mishnah reads and the flow of the Perek using the word Chaveiro numerous times seems to indicate that it's Israel, nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan can get out of the problem of this Mishnah by saying that it's about a non-Jew who is the bathhouse attendant or the bathhouse owner, and that's why Rav makes that diuk, but not that it would be a complete disproof to Rabbi Yochanan's position. And now the Mishnah continues and says, Achilato v'achilat chaveiro, if he ate a portion of that which was hekdesh, he was mo'el, and his friend ate it. Now his friend didn't eat it of his own volition, his friend ate it because ve'achil l'chaveiro, he fed it to his friend. Balei Tosafot before discussed what exactly that means in terms of feeding it to his friend, whether he literally has to put it into his mouth, or whether the person just takes it from him and eats it. But his eating and his friend's eating can be mitzdareif to make him chayav in mi'ilah. Hanayato v'hanayat chaveiro, his hana'ah, as well as his friend's hana'ah. For instance, he anoints himself with the oil of hekdesh, and he anoints his friend with the oil of hekdesh. Achilato v'hanayat chaveiro, whether he ate it and he gave hana'ah to his friend. Or hanayato, or his hana'ah, v'achilat chaveiro, mitzdarfim zeim zeh. They can aggregate to make him chayav for getting hana of a pruta from hekdesh. Again, in these cases, he's liable for his friend's activity because he's the one who's doing it. He's either feeding his friend or he's anointing his friend. He's giving him the achila. He's giving him the hana'ah. Therefore, he's liable both for his action and his friend's action. And they can be joined together to get to the minimum threshold of a pruta. Even over a long period of time, that's because, as we've noted before, Mi'ilah has no time limit to it or time frame to it. It's not an Isra Achila. Isra Achila have time frames of Kedei Achila Pras. But over here, that's Isra is not Achila. It's an Isra of misappropriation. It might be Gezel. Might be getting Hana from Hekdesh. But whatever it is, it's not Achila. And therefore, there's no time limit in which you reach that minimum threshold of a Pruta. That means even over several years, if you aggregate on the aggregate, have benefited from Hekdesh more than a pruta's worth, you're going to be chayav. Now the Gemara asks the question that we already noted in the Mishnah, which is, Maishnahu or Maishnah chaveiro? What's the difference between him, that he's not moel when he takes it from Hekdesh, and it's chaveiro when he gives it to him? Then there is mi'ilah. What happened that there was shino reshut only when he gave it to the third party, not when he himself took it? So Amar Shmuel, b'gizbar, amisurot lo askinan. We're dealing with a gizbar who has control over the items. Therefore, it's not leaving his possession when he takes the item. Again, we noted that that's not true if that's what he intends. If he intends to take it out of the possession of Hekdesh, then it would be a Shinoi Rishut. And that's why Balei Tosafot explains the case here as being a case where the individual didn't know that it was Hekdesh. He thought it was his own, then he went to use it. So over there, there is no din of Shinoi Rishut because he didn't take it out of the possession of Hekdesh since he is the Gizbar. Only when he gave it to the Chaveiro, his friend, did there actually take place a Shinoi Rishut. And that Shinoi Rishut is what makes him Chayav in Mi'ilah. And again, we explained the remainder of that part of the Mishnah having to do with the Gizbar. Bana b'toch beito eno Chayav. He builds it into his house, he's not Chayav. Again, why should that be the case? Lamali achi dora tachta. Why do I need to wait until he lives under it to get hana from it in order to be chayav? Came in the shanya, mao. Since he already changed it, he should have been Moel, as the way that the Baal Tosafot and Rashi say over here. We expect that he cut the item. He cut the board down. He chiseled the stone. He did some work with the items that changed them from their original state. If that's the case, he's Koned and Bishinoi, or he's Moel Bishinoi. There's a Pagam that's happening to the item, and therefore he should be Chayav for the Shinoi that took place, not because he lived under it, Beit Shaveh Pruta. Amarav Kigon Shenicha Piaruba. It's a case where he placed it over the skylight. Assumption here is that he didn't make any changes to the board, but the question is, what is the status of the board at this point in time? Rashi, when he gave examples of items where you did your shanye, where you changed it, he said, either she pichta pichatcha, he cut it down, he sliced it, inami she bana bebinyan, or he built it into the house. So there it sounds like for me, I'm just building it in itself, would be considered a shinoi, and therefore over here, when it says that he just put it over the skylight, he literally means he just stuck the board over the skylight. And that's the way that Rashi in Gemara in Chagigah learns this, that the case of putting the board on the skylight is literally that he just put it on the skylight. Then the Baal Tosafot here, and in Chagigah, learned that when shinoi means you actually did physical work to the board or the stone. And then when it says here that he put it over the skylight, means that he put it on the skylight and then he sealed it in place. He put plaster there to hold the board in place. So the board itself is still intact. You haven't made any changes to the board, but you've sealed it into the building. It's now become part of the building, part of the house. That in itself is not a chiyuv me'ilah because you haven't done anything again to the board and you haven't gotten hana by living under it. But that's why you're not chayav over here. Now, the next question of the Gemara makes more sense according to the way the Baal Tosafot learned, which is, v'kevin debanila mi'amal. So now, since he built it in, can he really have mi'ilah? The assumption being that once you build it in this way, which is placing it over the aperture of the house, you place this board and you plaster it down, then you get hana by living under it, you're going to be chayav mi'ilah. Problem is that once you build it into the house, it's mechuber lekarka. And we learned 2 daf ago, on daf yud chet, that there is a gzer shava of chet to truma. And that gzer shava teaches you, just like truma is talush, so to mi'ilah needs to be talush. In order to be chayav in mi'ilah, it needs to be detached from the ground. And over here, if you build it into the house, it is now attached to the house. So now, again, for the Baal Tosafot, it's a lot easier to understand because you've plastered the board into the house. And that's why it's considered to be mechubar. And the Gemara's rhetorical question over here is, can you have me'ilah now once you've now plastered the board into the house? How does it work going forward? Now, according to Rashi, where you're simply putting the board on the skylight, on the aperture, it's a little harder to understand what the question of the Gemara is. But you're going to have to say for Rashi is that you're mevatel it. When you put it there, your intent is to leave it there. You're mevatel it. You make it a part and parcel of the house. Even though you didn't plaster it down, you still intended it to remain as part of the house, and that makes it mechuber the karka. Therefore, lema misayle the Rav. This should then for be a position that helps Rav out. Dama Rav, Rav says, a mishtachave le bayit asaro. Someone who bows down to a house as a vodah zarah, he makes the house asur. Now the house is something that is mechuber the karka. And we know the rule is, with regards to a vodah zarah, Elohehem alaharim. Their gods are on the mountains, V'loharim Eloheihem, but the mountains can't be their gods. Now, if you worship the mountain, you're going to be chayav for avodah zarah. But you can't make something that's part of nature. You can't make something that is attached mechuber lekarka into avodah zarah to that item to be asur. Otherwise, if people worship the sun, it'd be asur to get enough from the sun. People worship the mountain, you couldn't walk on the mountain anymore. That's not the case. You have to have what's called tfisat adam. You have to have man's intervention in the item in order for it to be classified as something that can become avodah zarah. So now you have a house that is mechuber lekarka. You bow down to that person, bows down to the house. Can he make it into avodah zarah? Is that harim or is that Eloheihem? Rav says that you make the house asur, which means that Rav believes the house is considered to be detached from the ground, not attached to the ground. So he's saying talush, something that was detached, ulusof chiburo. And then you attach it, that's not considered mechuber the karka, and therefore if you bow down to the house, that is still talush, and it becomes a sur of avodah zarah. Similar to our case over here. Even though the board was once detached and now is attached to the house, that is talush. Lusof chibro will still classify it as being talush for me'ilah purposes, and that's why you're chayav for me'ilah over here. So if you learn that way in our Mishnah, that's supportive of Rav's contention that talush, lusof chibro, is considered to be talush. That's why by what it's already making a sword, that's why by me'ilah over here, you're going to be chayav for it. Amar avacha, b'reid ravika, hana, anireit anayim, asra Torah. Over here, the Torah was oser, something that is visible and obvious hana'ah that you're getting. The way that both Rashi and the Balei HaTosafot learn over here is that ein hochanami talosh ulesof chibro, something that was detached and now is attached, is considered to be mechubar. So everything is considered to be mechubar. That means that Rav is wrong, that the house should not be asur, and we don't have a proof to Rav. Over here too, once you put the board on top of the skylight and plaster it down, there should be no me'ilah. So then why is there me'ilah when you live under it? That's from this principle. This is an exception to the rule. In general, in order to be chayav and me'ilah, you need something to be detached, talush. But there is an exception that when it's mechubar, that if it's hana, nira, the einayim asrat Torah, if it is something that's obvious that you're getting hana from, like here where the board is totally visible, easy to see that you're getting hana from something from Hekdesh, that is something where you'll still be chayav, even if it's mechubar, even if it was attached. I mean, even if it was talush and then you attached it, you're still going to be chayav for me'ilah. It's an exception to the rule. It's not the rule itself. That's the way that Balei HaTosafot learn it. Later on, it seems that the Balei HaTosafot will back away from this understanding and say that it's the other way around. That it is the case of talush, lusof chibro, is considered to be talush, and that's why it's a chiyuv me'ilah. And that's because it's hana nirat le'enayim. And that's why it's considered to be something that you are chayav for. Not like over here, where we're saying everything is mechubar, and this is an exception to the rule of mechubar, that you're still chayav in this case. So, lema misayile, so let us say that this backs up that position. Hadar v'bayit shel hekdesh. Someone who squats in a house that belongs to hekdesh. Kevin, kevan sheneh mi'ano ma'al. Once you get hana from it, again, you are moel. So again, here it sounds like that talush lusof mechubar is considered to be talush, and that's why there is mi'ilah over here. So that would go against the conclusion that we brought from the Gemara before, and the Balei HaTosafot say over here, v'hu adin davi matzi lishnuye. You had another option here to answer the question, which is hana nirat le'enayim shiny. That hana nirat le'enayim is different. Meaning that lema misayile. Let us say this is a proof. Can go in one of two directions. You could argue that it means talush lusof mechubar is talush, and therefore that is supportive of Rav's contention that's considered to be talush and not mechubar, and that's why there's me'ilah over here. Or, lema misayile means that this is supportive of what we just said, that when something is mechubar, the karka, if it's hana, hanira le'ainayim, it's still asur. And that's what you could say here, that the darba b'ayit shel hekdesh, talush lusof mechubar, is mechubar. So then why are you chayav for me'ilah over here? Must be because it is hana, hanirei le'enayim, asra Torah. So it could go in either direction over there, but then we run into the problem in the next piece, and this is where Tosafot changes his position to believe that hana, hanirei le'enayim, is something that helps you when it's talush. It does not help you when it is mechubar. And that is Amar Reish Lakish, hotam. Over there, the case is big disho ulusof binao. That's a case where he was makdish the materials and then built it. So that's why in that case you're chayav for me'ilah. Aval binao, if you built it ulusof disho, and then only afterwards were you makdish it, then it would not be subject to me'ilah. My, what would be the din? Lo ma'al. Then there would be no me'ilah over there. Because there's a difference between items that are ready at desh, that you build into a house, that there is mi'ilah for, if you live in the house. On the other hand, if you have a case where you built the house, and then only makdish it later on, there is no din of ma'al or mi'ilah, because the house already existed before you made it into hekdesh. It was mechubar the karka before you ever were makdish it, as opposed to the first case of Reish Lakish, where it was detached at the time it became Hekdesh, and only became attached later on. We'll start to explain why there should be any difference. In the end, if Talush, Lusof Chibro, is Talush, why does it matter if you were Makdish the Adams before, or if you might Makdish the Adams afterwards? It's just a question of whether it's considered Mechubar or not. That we'll discuss in the Tosafot in a second. So my area. So now, according to Reish Lakish, why is it Rahit Vitani that the Breita went ahead and ran through Hadar B'Bayit Shel Me'ara Lomal? Someone who lives in a house that is a cave, there is no Me'ilah. Meaning that if you live in a regular house, there is Me'ilah. But if you live in a cave that belonged to Hekdesh, there's no Me'ilah. There's no either Pagam that is done to it. There is no, it's Mechuber the Karka. It's not considered to be Talush. Right, it is the Karka. For whatever reason, that's the distinction between those two items. But why did the Breita use those as the contrasting items? According to you, Lema Darba Bayit Shel Avanim Shebnao Usovik Disho Lomal. According to you, this is the equivalent of other places in Shas, which is Liflog Velitnei B'Didei. You could have made a finer distinction that would have given you more information. Why are you using such a broad distinction? That's the way that the Gemara Me'ilah asks it. The Tosafot, previously, when the Gemara quoted this, quoted from his Rebbe, that Lashon Me'ilah Mishuneh, that the way that the wording and the transition phrases in Me'ilah are unusual, are not the same. We've seen similar sentiments when we learned the Gemara Nazir, the Gemara Nidarim. They say the same thing about Me'ilah, which is that this doesn't flow or use the same terminology that we see in other places in Shas. So here it's called Ma'iria Rahit Vitani. That's the way that they say it in Me'ilah. In other places in Shas, they would say Liflog Velit Nebi Dinei. Make a finer distinction, which would be the following. Lema Hadar B'Bayit Shel Abanim Shebenao L'Sofik Disho. You live in a house where it was built, and then they were Magdishit Lo Ma'al. That should be the contrasting case. The case of where you live in the house, you're Chayav Me'ilah. The case where you're Magdish and then built it. And then the case where you're not Chayav is the case where you built the house and then you were Magdishit. Where it says, Amre HaPsikale Halo Psikale. One of them is a definitive halacha without any qualifications. The other one requires qualification. In the case of Me'ara, you can make a statement and you don't have to qualify it. That's clearly not a problem of Me'ilah, Mechuber the Karka, whether there's no Pgam, whatever the reason is, by Me'ara, there is no din of Me'ilah, and that you don't have to qualify. If you told me that it was a house that he was living in, and it was a case where he built it and then Makdish it, all that is qualifications, because if he did it the other way around, he was Makdish it and then built it, he would be Chayav. So in order not to have to deal with all the nuances, they just give you a straightforward case where there's clearly no Me'ilah, as the contrasting case. But not to say that it's not true. It is true that if you built it in Makdishit, there would be no din of Me'ilah. Just the Mishnah wanted to give a simpler case rather than a complicated case like that. Now, the Bali of Tosafot, based on this distinction of Reish Lakish, then go on to explain it. The problem with this explanation is that now that Reish Lakish made this distinction, why didn't the Gemara bring the same distinction it brought before with Hana and Yered Le'enayim? Or vice versa? Why did the Gemara before bring the distinction between Hekdesh and then built it, or built it and then was Magdishit? It really depends on the Girsa that you have in the Tosafot. All the Achronim have different Girsot in the Bali Tosafot. It's a very confusing Tosafot. But if you look in the Tzon HaKodoshim in Ot Hei, he says, V'yesh Lomar Da Demishani Hana and Yered Le'enayim. When the Gemara says now, Hana, Hanir Le'enayim, Hainu Shik Disho, Ulusof Bina'o. That's a case where he first was Makdish the items, and then only afterwards did he build it. Aval Bina'o. But in the case where he built it, Ulusof Hekdesho, Lohani. That doesn't help in that case. So from that, the Bali Tosafot comes for the conclusion that these two issues are synonymous. Or you don't have to read it exactly that they're synonymous, we can just read it that it's a condition. That when you have the materials that are Hekdesh and you build them into a building, I'll deny that it's Hekdesh and Yirah Le'enayim, then you're going to be Chayav. So either it is the same answer, or it is a condition by which if you have the materials of Hekdesh and build them into a building, that you're going to be Chayav. And that is that the problem by Makdish, Olesof Mechubar, is it's Hana and Yirah Le'enayim. And that's why you're Chayav for Me'ilah in that case. As opposed to the case where it is, you built it, but no, and then only afterwards were you Makdish it, because there, when you were Makdishit b'mechubar. And since you were Makdishit b'mechubar, the fact that it was Talush beforehand has no influence over here. But that does mean then, by the case of Avodah Zarah, this is not necessarily a proof to Rav. Because the problem of Avodah Zarah only arises after the item is already built. It was Talush, Sof Chibro, now it's Mechubar, and the issue of Avodah Zarah only arises Now, when you worship it, when it's mechubar, that's similar to the case where you already built it and then we're makdish it. In that case, we say there's no application of me'ilah because it's mechubar. And similarly, by avodah zarah, we're going to say that it's mechubar and not approved to rab. On the other hand, the cases where you are mo'el is the case where you use materials that were hekdesh and then you place them into the binyan. So therefore, in that braita that says that if you live in a house of hekdesh, you are chayav for me'ilah, that's a case where it was mukdash and you built it from materials of hekdesh. Similarly, our Mishnah, you took a board of hekdesh and built it in the house. That's why when you live under it, a shavet puta worth of hana, you're going to be chayav. And that's the way that the Balei Tosafot, based on the girsa of the Tzon Kodashim and others, explain this Gemara. Again, it's hard to understand the logic, why that should be. There are those that say that there is no mi'ilah, but because of hana there at the enayim, there's a din d'rabbonon of mi'ilah over here. And the Chazon Ish explains the logic as being that when you take possession of something of Hekdesh that is Talush, then you're demonstrating ownership over it, you're misappropriating the item. And that is Hano Hanire Le'enayim, because you're demonstrating Balut, taking something, misappropriating Hekdesh. On the other hand, when you show up with something that is Mechubar the Karka, and it was only Mukdash when it was Mechubar the Karka, there you don't demonstrate really any ownership over it, you're getting Hana from it, but you're not demonstrating balut over something that's hekdesh. You're not misappropriating some object of hekdesh. And that's because it's hanah in anirat le'enayim. It's not obvious that you're getting hanah from hekdesh in that case. So that would mean that anything that you take and you can get into your possession before it is planted, built, put into a mechubar state, in that situation you're going to be chayav for mi'ilah, or from Hana'ah, because you utilized Hekdesh to get the outcome that you wanted. Anything that was first Mechubar, planted, and existed prior to your coming there, then there's going to be no Me'ilah, because that's considered to be Mechubar, and it's not Hana'ah, and you're 8 day 9. And that would also mean that if you built it for Hekdesh, and then utilized it, there would be no Me'ilah, because over there you never demonstrated ownership or misappropriation while it was Talush. All right. With that, we finish the 5th parak, Hadronalach Hanene. Now we begin the 6th parak, which is the concept that we find by Mi'ilah in the Gemara in Kiddushin that deals with Shliach Lidvarei Veira and Daf Membet, whereby Mi'ilah is the exception to the rule of Shlichut. And that is, a Shliach Shasas Shlichoto Balabait Ma'al. Shliach that does his bidding as a proxy for the principal for the Balabait, then the Balabait is the one who's Mo'el, not the shliach. We learned that again on Daf Yud Chet from the Zer Shava, chet from Truma. Just like by Truma, a shliach can make Truma for you and can take off Truma for you and act on your behalf. So do by Me'ilah, the shliach can act on your behalf and you're going to be chayav. Lo asa shlichuto, if for whatever reason he abrogated his agency, hashliach ma'al, then he's no longer doing the bidding of the balabait and he becomes the party that's doing the Me'ilah. Ketzat, what's an example of that? Amar lo tein basar l'orchim, the balabait says, give meat to the guests. Natan lahem kaved, and instead he gave them liver. Kaved, he told them to give liver to the guests. Natan lahem basar, and instead he gave them basar. In that way, he abrogated his agency. If that's the case, if the kaved or the basar that he gave them was of hekdesh, then he was the one who was moel. Hashliach ma'al, and therefore the shliach is on the hook for the me'ilah. If the Baal Bayit says to the agent, tell him, give each one of them one piece, and it turns out the meat is meat of Hekdesh, and he says to them, take two pieces of meat, or shtayim, each of you take two pieces of meat, and they themselves took three each, over here everybody's moel. The first piece, the Baal Bayit told him to give it to him, and he did his agency there. We'll have to see why he didn't abrogate it when he told him to take two instead of one. That the Gemara will ask at the end of today's daf. But the assumption is that the first one, the balabait is responsible for. The second one, the shliach is responsible for. And the third one, the guests are responsible for. And therefore, they're all moel in this case. So now the Gemara says, Man Tana, who is the author of the Mishnah? Which Tana believes the chomilta, the mimlechala, shliach, any item in which a shliach has to take counsel from his principal, tarte mileyabin. They're considered to be differentiated items. Amrav Chista, Deloka Rabbi Akiva. It's clearly not like Rabbi Akiva. It's not. We have a Mishnah in Nedarim. Hanoder min hayerek, someone who takes a neder not to get benefit from vegetables, mutar b'dilu'im. They can eat squash, they can eat gourds. Rabbi Kiva Oser. Rabbi Kiva says you can't. A squash, a gourd, is a subset of vegetables. And therefore, if you say you're not going to eat vegetables, you can't eat these items as well. The reasoning behind that is right here, both by Rashi and the Balei Tosafot, which is the Gemara in Nedarim explains that if someone sent out his agent to the shuk to buy vegetables, if there were no vegetables there, but there were squash or there were zucchinis, gourds that were there, the shliach would come back to the balabait to ask, should I buy those? You told me to buy vegetables, should I buy those items? So the Rabbanim believe the fact that he has to ask whether he should buy the item or not shows you it's not yerek. If it was a yerek, he wouldn't have to come back and ask the balabait for permission to buy it. That demonstrates it's not a yerek. Rabbi Kiva says just the opposite. Rabbi Kiva says the fact that he comes back and asks means that it is a type of yerek. It may not be what everybody has in mind in the first place, but the fact that he even asks the question means it's a subset of yerek. He doesn't come back to him and ask, do you want legumes? Because legumes are clearly not yerek, are clearly not vegetables. The fact that he even asks shows you that it's relevant to the category. If it wasn't relevant to the category, he wouldn't even come back and ask. He wouldn't even take counsel from me. He would know that it's not what he wants. So the fact that he has to come back and ask shows you that it belongs in that category. Similarly, over here, what happens with kaved, with liver? Do you consider liver to be a subset of basar, or is it a separate item? What we say is, if you sent the individual to buy basar from the shuk, he would come back and ask you whether you should buy liver if there's no basar. The fact that he has to come back and ask, the Rachamim show you, tell you that it's two different items. That's why in our Mishnah, if the shliach gives them kaved instead of basar, he's molel, because he didn't do the bidding of the balabait, because he gave them kaved. The other hand, according to Rabbi Akiva, there should be no problem. He gave them basar. Kaved is a subset of basar. How do I know that? Because if he went to the shuk to buy basar, and there was no basar, he comes back and asks, should I buy you liver? That shows you that liver is a relevant part of the category of basar. And so therefore, over here, the balabayit should have been moel, not the shliach. Abai Amar, afilu teimer Rabbi Kiva. Even Rabbi Kiva can be the author of our Mishnah. Mi lo bai leim luchei. He still has to ask. Even according to Rabbi Kiva, who sees liver and basar being the same category, that liver itself is a subset of basar, he still agrees that the shliach, the agent, has to come back and ask the balabayit, should I buy the liver? The fact that he asks shows you it's a subset of the category. But he still has to ask. And in this case, we did not ask permission, then it becomes his issue. He abrogated his agency by giving the kaved when he said basar or vice versa. When he said kaved, he gave them basar. Yamaru Rabbanan kaved the Rava. When the Rabbanan told over what Abaye said about Rabbi Kiva's position, Amaru Shapir Kamar Nachmani. Abaye, who's known as the Nachmani, he's saying, Abaye spoke well in this case in his explanation of Rabbi Akiva's position. Matana de Polig Ale de Rabbi Akiva. Who is the dissenting opinion to Rabbi Akiva? Who are the Rabbonon that disagree with Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. It is Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel de Tanya. Anoder min basar, asur b'chol minei basar. Someone takes a neder not to get benefit from basar, can't eat any type of basar. Basur b'rosh, can't eat the head of the animal. Braglayim, he can't eat the legs of the animal. Bikaneh, not the neck of the animal or the trachea, bikaved, also the liver, obelave, and the heart of the animal, va'asur bibasar ofot, umutar bibasar dagim v'chagavim. You're asur in fowl poultry, but you can eat fish and crickets. Locusts you can eat. So what we're saying here is that b'lashon b'nei adam, when you say basar, all these items are subsumed under the category of basar. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, matir, Birosh, Ubraglayim, Bikaneh, Bikaved, Ba'ofot, Ubdagim, Uchagavim. Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel disagrees and says, subsumed under the term basar, none of these items are included. There are some of them that we mentioned that are included, but excluded from that are the head, the legs, the trachea or the neck, the liver, the fowl or poultry. All of that is excluded. And again, Dagim Uchagavim, which already was excluded, says none of those are considered to be basar, because if you send out an agent to buy basar from you, he would have to come back and check to buy one of these items, because that's not considered to be the main basar. The innards of the animal, the kishkas of the animal, are not considered to be basar. And people who eat them are not considered to be human beings. So now, there are different ways to learn this. Meyuchas the Rashi says, if you can buy a litre of basar and it's for azuz, and instead you buy innards or kishkas for azuz, la barinish itzel kol adam. This person's not normal. This person doesn't fit into the societal norms. If somebody comes along and was willing to pay the same price for the kishkas as the basar, that person is off. They are betela dato etzel kol adam. They are someone who is deviating from social norms, and therefore we don't abide by what they're thinking. According to Rashi, it is fit for human consumption. It's just that it's cheaper, and it should be priced at that point. If you pay for the same amount for it, it's problematic, because you're paying the value that's associated with basar, and you should be paying much less for it. So Rashi says, that's what it means over here. La barinishu means he's not normal because he's mispricing this item that should be cheaper. Not that it's not fit for human consumption. The Balei Tosafot take a totally different approach and say that it's not fit for human consumption means human beings don't eat this. That kirbayim la basar heim means not only in this situation here will they not be included under the neder of basar, it's animal food. And that has implications for mekach u'memkar. And if it's not food for human consumption, then if you sell somebody the kishkas or the innards, and it's only edible by animals, it's not good enough for human consumption, there's no mekach ta'ot. Because humans don't eat this stuff. People don't buy it for consumption. People who do this are outliers. People who eat this stuff are problematic. That's the way the Balei Tosafot explain it. And therefore, the Shita Mekubetzet says over here that a question came before the Riva by a korkoban, a gizzard of a tarnagol of a nevela that got mixed up with korkobans, gizzards of other ofot. And the Riva says, batel berov. Now generally, when it comes to basar, we do not say batel berov because it's a davar choshu. Davar choshu can't be batel. It says from our Gemara over here, you see that the intestines, the innards of the animal, are not considered to be a davar chashuv because they're not fit for human consumption. People who eat them are not real people. Those people are off base when they eat them. And therefore, when you have a korkoban that gets mixed up, it's batel berov because it's not a davar chashuv. And therefore, it could be batel amongst the other gizzards. And that's what the Shita Mekubetzet brings over here. Now, the Gemara says, well, the Tana Kama, according to the Tana Kama, maishna bebasar ofot, why is it by poultry? He says that is subsumed under the word basar, but fish flesh is not considered to be basar. Mishom, the rogel inish damar. People normally say, lo ashkei bisra de chiyuta, ba'atai bisra de tzifra. I couldn't find meat of animals, so I ended up buying chicken. I used chicken as a replacement. It was a substitute. I used turkey as a substitute for basar, for real meat. Iachi, achinami, of it inish, the memra. People also say, lo ashvechei bisra de chayuta. I couldn't find animal flesh to eat. Vahatai dagim, and instead I brought fish. And I didn't have something to adorn the table for Shabbat. So instead of basar, I got dagim. So they use it in the same way. I don't think that's true today. It must have been true in their day. We're talking about the nidarim, so it's lashon b'nei adam. But in their day, when they used the word meat, meat could have included all three of these items, it sounds like. Normally, you would go to buy basar beima, but if there was no basar beima available, you would say, I couldn't find basar beima, I bought basar of. I couldn't find basar beima, I bought basar dagim. Either one of those would have been an equal substitute. Today, it's clear that we view those differently. And even in the Gemara, we see that case, because when they were gozer by basar bechalav, they were only gozer by basar of. They were not gozer by basar dagim, which shows you that they saw a difference between of and dagim. And that seemed to be a thing that people were confused. They would confuse basar of with basar beima. They would not confuse it with basar dagim. So Amar of Baba, beyom hakaza askinan. We're dealing on a day that a person had bloodletting done to them. Delo achal inish dagim. So people don't eat fish on that day because it's considered to be deleterious for someone who let blood to eat fish afterwards. Now, if he takes a nether on that day, he's taking a nether, anything that I could have eaten today, I'm taking a nether not to get hanah from. So since he couldn't have eaten fish today, that's not subsumed in his nether. It says, Ichachi tzifrenami nechol. That's the case. You should also be able to eat fowl. Because Amar Shmuel, demisukar, someone has bloodletting down on their shoulder, vachal tzifra If he eats fowl, if he eats poultry afterwards, parach libe kitzifra, his heart will flutter out like a bird that flutters away. So there you see that fowl, poultry is also detrimental to someone who is bloodletting. That's the case when he took the neder should not have included fish, nor should it have included chicken or poultry. Ba'od Tanya, and we have another bright Emek Zin Dam Lola Dagim Lola Ofot. We have it explicit. Shouldn't do Hakazat Adam based on a meal that you're going to have afterwards, which includes fish, includes poultry. V'lo al basar meliach, and not on meat that has been salted. According to the way that the Rashi says over here, that it's meat that was salted for 2 days and one night. It's already salty enough meat that it was not called meshiva nefesh. Doesn't bring back the soul, the spirit of the individual. So over here, when you let the blood, they thought you were losing some of your life force, and therefore you needed foods to restore that life force. And they're saying that fish and fowl are not good for that. Meat is good for that, but it's got to be real meat in order to do that, to give that feeling, not salted meat, which is already doesn't have that ability to revive the individual. But what you see here is that that can't be the explanation of the nether here for the Tanna Kamma. El Amar Papa, Yoma de Kaivin Le Ene Askinat. The case or a day where his eyes are hurting him. He has an eye ailment. To lo achil dagim. Because you don't eat fish when you have eye problems because it's detrimental to your health in terms of your eyes. Both the Miyuchas Rashi and the Bayit Tosafot over here bring the Gemara from the Darim, which says that Siman Nun Samech Ayin, which is Nuna, which is a fish in Aramaic, is Samo, is a salve, Leina, for the eyes, which sounds like it is positive to eat fish when one has an eye ailment. So, the way that Miyuchas the Rashi says over here, Kishamat Chilim Ayinayim Lech'ov. When you start having an eye ailment, fish are beneficial. When you already have the eye ailment for a duration of time, then fish are detrimental. Bali Tosafot bring that explanation, and then offer an additional explanation, which is, fish at the beginning of the meal is good for the eyes, fish at the end of the meal or in the middle of the meal is not good for the eyes. But anyway, they make that distinction between the Gemara and the Darim over here as to whether fish is beneficial or detrimental to someone with an eye ailment. But again, that will explain the Tanna Kamma's position now. He took a neder on a day where his eyes were hurting him. So now that his eyes were hurting him, he's not going to eat fish today. So he's not going to eat fish. When he took the neder, he's being oser anything he would have eaten today. Well, that's not fish. And that's why his neder does not cover fish, but it does cover poultry and other basar when he said the word basar. Amar lo, tein lo chaticha, shmamina. You see from here, mosif ashlichuto havi shaliach. That when someone adds on to their agency, they don't abrogate their core agency. It's a question in the Gemara in Tubot, when an individual sends someone, an agent, to go buy property for him. He says, go buy me a litra. And instead he buys 2 litra. The question is, does the transaction stand? Is the agent really still an agent for the individual because he bought twice as much as what he instructed him to do? The question is, when you buy more than he instructed you to do, did you do your agency plus, which means that you act as an agent for half of it, and the other half you acted on your own behalf? Or do we say that when you do that, you abrogated the core agency because you didn't do what you asked him to? He asked him to buy that amount, he bought more, that means he's not doing what he asked him to do. From our Mishnah, it sounds like when you add on, you did not abrogate the core agency, because we're saying here that the Baal Bayit is still Mo'el for the first piece. So Amar Rav Sheshet, the case here, you don't have to say that. The case here is Amar Shliach Tulachat Midato, Vachat Midati. Says, one's on the Baal Bayit, the other one's on me, and then they went ahead and took the third one on their own reconnaissance. So he states specifically that his agency only relates to one piece. And when he told him to take the second piece, he differentiated it from the first piece. Now, what the Gemara should have said now, it's not there, but it's implicit, is pshita. If he does that, then of course, his shlichut only applies to the first piece, and he's going to be mo'el the Baal Bayit for the first piece, and the second piece is his problem. He didn't abrogate his agency in any way. Where it says, no, ma'o detema, akar shliach shlichutei the Baal Bayit, below them all, kamash malon. So still, you would think over here, since he said to do something of his own volition, which the Baal Bayit didn't instruct him to do, maybe that would be classified as an abrogation of the whole shlichut over here. Kamash malon is that the shlichut, the agency stays in place. That means the principal, the Baal Bayit, is going to be responsible for the first piece. The shliach is responsible for the chutzapah of the second piece. And the guests who took their own piece are going to be responsible for the Mi'ilah on the third piece. Okay, we'll stop here at the Mishnah on the top of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph.